Good afternoon. I know everybody is excited to go home or go at least hotel to sleep. So I'll try to be short and try to be a little bit not to show the data. I was just sitting down and thinking whether I put a right place or the right section to put these slides or not, because I started in a different way. So we are characterizing, we're using the sensor to characterize the soil property, and now when it's using lot of sensors, when a lot of data is coming up, and how do you actually manage the data, how do you make a framework that could better characterize the soil. So I would like to acknowledge my postdoc. She's on the picture, actually. She wanted to be here, but she's not. So I am presenting. It's her work. We are the faith. And my colleague from McGill University, Slav Adamchuk, I know. So I started in a different way, like how do you do a site-specific management, because you need a lot of data. So what do? You need a variable, like a very high-resolution information. So now, if you have the high-resolution information, you can go for different on-site management, because yesterday, one of the presentation I saw, I think Dan Rooney I forgot the company, but he said, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So that was his first slide. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So that's what I'm saying. You want to get a lot of measurement done so that you can do a better management. You can do better management of all the agricultural input. And when you want to do a better management, you want to recognize and address the local challenges, whether you have a better organic carbon, better nitrogen or not. But still, traditionally, a lot of cases we go to the field with an auger or something and get the samples and out and get the data. So that's why it's a status quo approach of like a traditional fertility management. And then the concept came, okay, we can use sensor to get like a lot more information with a lesser money. So that basically per capita money, you get a lot more data, but maybe not exactly the 100% of what you get from the lab, but highly spatially variable. I just want to mention one thing, like how important this sensors are. It could be an in-season, on-crop standing and making a decision, while it could be off-season, you get the data and actually decide what it should be in the next year. So I'm a soil scientist, soil physicist. We look at like in between off-season one and how it could change. And there are a lot of proximal sensors. You have mechanical sensor to get the compactness, bulk density relationship, or you have electrical, electromagnetic, you have optical like VGNR, MIR, even radiometric like thorium, potassium, uranium ratio, or even you have the GPR, you have electrochemical sensors like ion selective electrode and all those things. So one of our system is under parent. But question is, like in this presentation, I'm just trying to put it together. When you have so many sensors, even with one run of your rover, one run of your tractor, you can get a lot of data. What you're going to do it? If you are using one sensor, it's giving you one, but as soon as you use the other sensor, it's giving a different kind of prediction, what it's going to do. So in this one, we're trying to say, like, can you fuse the data? So basically, when you have multidimensionality of the data, bringing back and crunch it. We have a lot of computational facility, crunch it together, see if we can improve that. That's why we try to develop a protocol. So we are saying it's a more multifaceted. It integrates automatically detected and geospatially correlated data, because when you have four different depth with your EC sensors, they are correlated. It provides a lot more realistic alternative to characterize the complexity of soil, because you're trying to bring back like complementary information, a little bit more comprehensive, robust, but less risky. That's what we're expecting. We're defining this way. What happens? You get data from different sensors like Gamma Ray, P4000 is a commercial sensor from Varis, or RTK Trimble. They have, like, you get the data and derive a lot of physiographic index, dual M21S, that gives you four different depth of EC data. Now, what we're trying to do is different sensors. We use some of this mathematical model. It could be data mining, it could be regression analysis, doing the prediction, getting the results for multiple soil properties. So the objective is that when you use a single sensor, how it is giving the prediction. When you use multiple sensors, how it's giving the prediction. We're trying to identify the best sensor combination, and then as an extension of this framework, we're trying to see if we use multiple data mining algorithm, whether it could improve or not. We kind of take a look about eight of them here in this work. It's not a very big field, about 25 acres in Montreal, Quebec City, Canada. Quite highly variable in soil. You have a sandy soil on the, like where you see DM, EU, these are kind of a sandy soil here, a little bit of peat, like almost like an organic soil with some silty clay soils. Just one thing, we had done some sampling, is kind of grid sampling, 25 meter grid sampling, but it's a grid random sampling. Within the grid, you randomize the location. And then we use the proximal soil sensors like a dual M21S. It gives four different depths, about 0 to 40, 0 to 90, 0 to 1.3 meter, 0 to 3.1 meter, four different depths of data using electromagnetic principle. Gamma ray, it also gives you thorium, uranium, potassium, and we also have the total count of the data. Then we use various proximal soil sensors, so this gives the depth data up to a 1 meter, very high resolution spectroscopic data, optical data, as well as the dipole electrical conductivity. Now when you have about 380 spectral signals, so we cannot deal with that many, we are trying to reduce with a PC analysis, principal component analysis, and we are working with the principal component for spectral data. RDK GPS, you have the direct measurement and then you actually derive a lot of physiographic properties. Then we try to do prediction of the soil properties. We use partial least square regression at the first to take a look. It's becoming more common in using the partial least square. We use certain criteria like R-square, RMSD, RPD, different criteria. And then we also wanted to see when you are using a sensor or a combination of sensors, which sensor could be providing us the better information when you're combining them. Okay, data mining algorithm, coupled different algorithm, support vector machine, multiple adaptive regression spline, classification regression tree, random forest. So what is going on, I'll just quickly show, because I didn't want to show any data or the numbers. You guys are all tired of looking at the numbers. So if it is a yes emoji, good, that means good prediction we are getting. Where is no, that's not good. With some reasonable soil organic matter, almost all the sensors are giving me reasonable prediction. pH, BPA, like a buffer pH, it's okay, just stay back, I'm not that good. Okay, phosphorus, potassium, not too much, because phosphorus is always a notorious element for all the sensor calibration. But again, calcium, magnesium, aluminium, these cations, it has a very strong correlation with organic matter, and we can also see very strong relationship with almost all the sensors. Then what we did for the sensor fusion, we tried to see the combination of sensors, whether two sensor combination, three sensor combination, or combine all the sensors together. What did we get? Look at the soil organic matter. It's very strong correlated with almost all the cases, and as we increase the sensor, it's going about 0.8 R-squared to 0.89. We got the highest correlation in the all sensor combination. For calcium, we got the exactly similar data. It's almost like a replica of the soil organic matter data. It may be very high, strong correlation with organic matter. Ended up pH, some cases, but as we improve the sensors, bringing back together, is actually improving the prediction. So which is normal, a lot of cases we can't do this one, pH, BPH, but sensor combination is providing a little bit of better data. As well as the P, as we combine, it's been a notorious element, but we have improved that. And then just one slide I wanted to show, like as we use different complicated machine learning method, we ended up finding, yes, it's giving me the good correlation, good prediction, but again, the prediction improves, and often cases we find regression spline or random forest bringing up a lot of different variables is actually improving in the prediction. And when you look at the contribution, for example, I didn't want to show a lot of things and a lot of data numbers. If you see here, gamma ray always been a good predictor in the combination because its relationship with the potassium, thorium with soil organic matter. The same way pH, which is, as I said, not a lot of cases we have done very good job with the pH prediction, the proximal sensors, but it's giving, and some cases the spectra, while it's the dual M also predicting that. With this, I would like to conclude a new sensor fusion, like it's kind of a framework we try to put it together. We have done with the gamma ray, electrical conductivity, visible near infrared, elevation data and elevation derived product we used. Sensor data fusion produced improved prediction over individual sensors. Of course, there is a complementary effect, and that's what we're trying to identify for in each of the sensors we are using. What could be the physical meaning of it? That's we are still trying to work on it. Like if I just throw in some data, why it is improving and why. Some of these properties which, for example, pH, BPH is not very commonly predicted, but is giving us sensor data fusion a little bit better option. And as we use some of those more data crunching machine, and we try to get a little bit of better value, better numbers. With this, I would like to thank you, my funding agencies, NSERC and OMAFRA, Ontario Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs, and my university and my previous university, McGill. Last year I shifted. Any questions, I would be happy to, I'll try to answer. I wish my poster could have been here. Yes, please. Yes.
What value was in those time series versus just a one-off spatial mapping?
Yes, we have done that. We have done a couple times of at least the dual mapping. That's the very easier one, and we have right on the farm, and we tried a couple of the day. So we are still looking at the spatial complexity, and then we are trying to incorporate how the spatial complexity changes with the time. I did not put it here or anything we have done so much on, but yes, we do have, because RTK, it did not change much of it. It's almost the same, which expected. But the main problem is that when you did the dual M, even in the spring, in the summer, in the fall, like after harvesting, showing the difference, and as well as the gamma. So we are hoping to see if we can catch some of this evolution, temporal evolution. Yes, we are doing, but haven't done much of the work in terms. Thank you.